Blog Talk Radio.
This is Forbes Demarais, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. I am your host, Joanne, coming to you live from Buffalo, New York. Today is the 19th of June, 2009. My number here is 347-945-5423. Guests in the chat room, please go register with Blog Talk Radio so you can participate live in the chat. So Scott Clifton made his breakthrough on General Hospital as the youngest of Tracy Quatermain's litter and skyrocketed into one of the most loved characters on the show. He gave up the soap to work on his first love music, but back to daytime by popular demand, he has landed himself on the East Coast as California boy as a new citizen of Landview, Pennsylvania. Please welcome Scott Clifton to Stardish Radio.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you? Wow, thanks for the introduction. God, you just made me sound, like, really interesting.
Oh, you are.
How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for spending some time with me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks for spending time with me.
Oh, you know what? I've been trying to do it for a long time, and I'm glad I got the opportunity.
Cool.
Let me start by saying that you're not just so adorable, but you're so enjoyable to watch on television, and I'm really, really glad that you made the decision to come back to daytime.
Thank you. I am too. A lot of it has to do with I want work. You know what I mean? And that's a big thing too. And daytime is so interesting in the acting world. It's like the only thing that acts as like a 9-to-5 job in the acting universe, and and I left, and I kind of, you know, I missed it, and also, you know, we live in a time where like things are tough right now for actors. Yeah. I mean, like, people out there that are struggling to be actors, like, it's harder for them than ever, and It's not as if I've like graced daytime with my presence. I'm really, really lucky to be there.
Right. Well, let me ask you, because when you did your exit interview with ABC Soaps in Depth, you had said that you decided to leave the show because, in your eyes, you watched an episode of yourself, and you basically said that you felt that you lost the values, the focus, the listening, and the presence. And you said that I got to get good again. When did it hit you that was your time to come back, or was it primarily because, I mean, like you said, it is tough out there, and if the job comes, you just got to take it.
It was a combination of things. I mean, they work in contracts, you know what I mean? And so I was coming up at the end of my contract, and I knew that I was going to have to make a choice. You know, I was either going to have to stay probably for another 4 years, you know what I mean, or you know, go off and take my chances and see if I could, you know, do anything else and try something else. Unfortunately, right when I left General Hospital, the writer's strike happened, and there was like no work for a really, really long time. But I had started like watching myself and thinking, man, I'm not, when I first came to General Hospital, Jane Elliott, who played Tracy Quatermain, my mom, she like kind of pulled me aside, and she said something really, really important, and it was like this kind of cinematic gladiator talk that she gave me, and she said, you have to win the crowd. You know, you can be a really good actor, you can be really truthful, you can be really natural, you can be, you can do all these things, but unless you win the crowd, unless you're interesting, you're not going to last here. Mm-hmm. And that was really important. And I, in those 4 years, I saw actors come and go that weren't, you know, that weren't doing that, you know, and it's so testable and true. And by the end of the show, by the end of my time on GH, I was watching myself going, wow, I'm not doing that. I'm kind of phoning it in. Like, I really am mm-hmm. phoning it in. Holy, you know.
Oh, you can say it. We're not monitored. Go ahead.
Killer. Holy shit. I'm not doing what I should be. And so, yeah, I needed a break. I needed to, you know, try being another character or go take a damn acting class or something, because it didn't feel right.
Well, I mean, you saw that, but I definitely don't think your fans did. You developed a huge, huge following on General Hospital, and I'm sure, as you know, they all followed you over to One Life to Live.
Yeah,
as you know, the soap fans are completely devoted to their people. And like Jane said, you must win the crowd. You won the crowd and then some, because you really did. I mean, you're extremely popular, and when we found out on the show that you were going back to One Life to Live, the buzz is incredible. I mean, it was so, so embraced by everybody. I mean,
wow.
I honestly have never, and I'm telling you the truth because that's just the way that I roll, I've never, ever read a bad thing about you, period. So,
wow, thank you.
I swear I haven't. I mean, if I did, I might not tell you, but I wouldn't even make that statement. You know what I mean? I really never did. And,
right.
And, you know, people that I've talked to that actually met you, and you're just a very generous person, and you're very loving to your fans, and you get it that, you know, they're there to support you. And, you know, some actors don't get that, but, you know, from what I know of you, you get it. So that's
right.
How you won them.
Well, cool. Thank you so much. You brought up an interesting point. There's two completely different sides to winning the crowd, I guess, and I hadn't really mm-hmm. thought of that. I mean, you know, I do what I do at work when mm-hmm. I'm in character, but I guess there is another element of daytime. There is a responsibility that we have to fans, too. You know, when they say cut and when we go, you know, I mean, when we're – whether it's – you know, answering fan mail, or just like you get stopped on the street and somebody goes, I love your character. You know, it's, you kind of, sometimes you owe somebody a little conversation just because you're in their, mm-hmm. you're in their living room, you know, like every Monday through Friday. So, I appreciate you saying that, by the way. That means a lot to me to get that feedback.
Look, I'm as honest as though, and I would say it. I enjoy you, and I think you're one of the things that One Life to Live needed, a new face, a new mix, you know, in that whole little Fab Four storyline that you jumped into with Star and the baby and all that stuff. It was definitely needed, and it was definitely embraced and welcomed. So you're doing a fabulous job.
Cool. Thank you. He's an interesting character, isn't he? He's a bit different from Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stressed that about that a little bit too. I got so lucky with Dylan. Let me tell you, when I auditioned and I got it was like this perfect, like quirky, original character that almost didn't seem like a daytime archetype. You know what I mean? Like almost like he was like this character that kind of looked almost at the camera and winked at the audience once in a while, and I
mm-hmm.
thought that was so cool, and they wrote me so well in the beginning. I mean, they always wrote me well, but it was such a great experience. And then Skylar came along, and I thought, wow, I kind of have to work to make him interesting. Like, he's a biology teacher. Wow. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So there was... there was work to do, and right. I was nervous about that. Like, it wasn't all done for me, and so I kind of had to. I mean, there's really good juicy stuff, but I knew that we weren't going to be finding that out until some later on, you know, later on. So I'm really glad it's coming across, because I want Skylar to be an interesting, sort of likable character, and I think he is so far.
You know what? I really enjoy watching you against JP, because to me, you two are quite similar. And I've always said that even when you were on GH, and to see you two play off of each other, I love it. I mean, it's just like, to me,
yeah.
It's like a brother and brother just throwing zingers at each other. I just, it's enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, thank you. I hear you. I can see that, because I really like JP in real life. He and I get along very, very well, and we have a lot of things in common, a lot of things that we kind of like to bullshit about. And the first time that I ever met JP was, it was like right after I was nominated for like an Emmy in 2003, and I submitted this scene where Dylan was like in jail, and he had to pretend to be crazy to get out of jail. I think he had punched, had something, he was in jail in like another country, in like Puerto Rico or something like that. He had to
right.
pretend to be crazy, and that was the scene that I submitted. And JP, like, we're, I'm at this, this like buffet sort of charity event. And I had never met JP before. I had seen his face, you know, because he's on the same network. But he makes a beeline for me, and he goes, okay, you, with the face and the hair. I love it. I love what you did. I watched your Emmy reel. I hope you win. Oh, my God. I love it. By the way, that was, like, if you don't know,
that's
a perfect impression of
exactly
JP.
That's exactly how he sounds, too.
and he and I were friends from that point on. But you're going to be seeing a lot more of me with JP too. So,
oh, good. I'm
really
glad
fun.
About that.
Yeah.
Now, throw back to General Hospital. Were you surprised when they killed the character of Georgie off?
Yes and no. I was surprised that they killed her. I
right.
thought that was pretty harsh, pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
I knew that I had known that after I left, they were having some trouble kind of finding a niche
something
for her, finding
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I know that Lindsay was getting a little restless, because she was kind of
mm-hmm.
feeling ignored a little bit, but.
Yeah.
And I knew that GH kind of owed it to her to let her go, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she's a talented actress, and there's a lot of things that she could have been doing,
right.
If they weren't going to be using her, you know, the obvious
right.
thing, it would have been great if they had used her more. I think they flirted with like her and Spinelli, which would have been
yeah.
really interesting.
Well, it was sad, because what they did was they flirted with it, and they let Spinelli find out after the fact that she was dead that she was actually in love with him, which I think
right.
is like a shot to the balls for Spinelli again, because the poor guy can't get nobody. And there's this one person who, you know, he looked as a best friend, actually really liked him, and she's dead now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in a way, that's a nice sort of Shakespearean kind of twist.
Mm-hmm.
Which really worked out well for the character of Spinelli, and kind of enriched his relationship with Maxie. I imagine I didn't see, you know, where they
yeah.
went after that, but yeah, it was I winced when I heard that they were going to kill her, and kill her in such an undignified way, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
so but Lindsay was cool. She was great, and I got to, you know, see her afterwards.
Right.
And she's doing really well now.
Do you still keep in touch with anybody from General Hospital besides Lindsay?
Yeah, a few people. I the person I keep in touch with most, interestingly, is Drew Cheatwood, who played Milo.
Milo.
Drew is, he's a health and fitness expert, as if you couldn't tell. And he actually, he always was on my ass about being in shape. And I still talk to him, like I hung out with him a lot. Bradford, I talk to you once in a while. Julie, I talk to you once in a while. These are my way of communicating with them now, just because I'm off the country, is pretty much Facebook. That's like, that's how I...
Right. That was a question I got from some fans. They were asking that if you did do the Facebook, because there's so many imposters in, out there. I mean, I don't know for you specifically, but, you know, there fans try to create fan pages, but they kind of omit the fact that they're fans and they just put up a page, you know. So they were asking if you do have an official Facebook page, and is it open to the public or is it just for family and friends? I mean, I know you're on Twitter.
Oh.
I'm following you on Twitter.
Cool. Thanks. I'll answer that for you. I use Facebook. I don't have an official Facebook page. I use Facebook just to keep in touch with, like, my personal, like, friends and family, people that I know, like, in real life that I kind of, you know, see or talk to on a daily basis. I do have a public MySpace, and that's what I use that for. A lot of time I get requests from fans, you know, on Facebook, and I say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, but check out my MySpace. And that's where I kind of, like, put some of my music stuff, too. And
I was listening to it today, and I really enjoy your music. Now, does your Scottish Irish background take effect of you? Because I get a lot. I get that feeling in the music.
Wow!
It kind of reminds me a lot of Alanna Morissette's music.
Oh, cool! Oh, what a cool compliment. Thank you. At least I'm not trying to be Scottish or Irish or, you know, but, I grew up, my parents, like, love Celtic music. I grew up listening to Celtic music. That's when I hum songs to myself. Sometimes I do hum, like, weird, obscure little Irish pub songs and shit like that. It's really cool.
Right.
I wasn't going for that, but that's so cool that you hear that in there. Like, what a great...
You have to understand, I have, like, a slow processor. I got to, like, listen to things over and over and over again to actually get it. And I was listening to it this afternoon, and it's like, wow, like, I can kind of hear Alanis Morissette in some of these things that he's got going on. I want to see which song it was because I still have it up on the screen. I think it was Stain is the one that I really, really hear it. But it's great stuff. And for you guys in the chat room, go to scottclifton.com because that's where he has his CDs up for sale. And you can also buy individual tracks off of his MySpace account also. So definitely do that. That you're in New York, are we going to be able to see you perform anywhere locally? I mean, I saw, like, all your posts. Oh, I'm playing here in California. I'm playing here. I'm like, damn, man, come to New York. So,
yeah, I kind of have to get my shit together on that one. I have to figure that out. Since I moved to New York, I mean, in L.A., I had a band, you know, of, like, L.A., L.A. guys, and I had a car, and I could drive to, like, a rehearsal studio. I could haul around equipment. I have no idea how it's done out here. I have to tell you something, though. I kind of had a moment where I... and this is going to sound so, like, melancholic and, like, disappointing, and I don't know why I'm burdening you with this information.
Burden me, honey. Burden me. That's what I'm here for.
There were a few shows that I played in L.A. that were kind of – uh-oh. I just got a thing saying that I'm off the host queue.
Don't listen to that silly English lady. She just pops in every 5 minutes or so.
She sounds so regal. I feel like I have to listen to her with that accent.
But I have the better New York accent, so listen to me. Forget her.
Yes, that's true. You do. Yours is much more dynamic. In fact, can I talk like you?
Talk like me. Everybody else.
So I'm going to talk like you. Okay. So I had a few shows in L.A. where I started to realize I can't do this. I'm a little bit of a wreck when I have to perform live. When I try hard, I can sing well and I can have like a pretty voice. But I write songs to write them. You know, I write them because I like writing the songs, and then I perform them because I have to, because I wrote them, you know, because nobody else will. You know, I would love it if other people were, I would love to be like a famous songwriter, you know what I mean, and other people were taking my songs and singing them. But I, you know, for now, I have to. And I'm a wreck when I go up on stage. I know so many people that are just like amazing singers and amazing performers, and they're like so comfortable on stage. And they say that, you know, they get this rush when they're on, and there's like no place that they're more at home. I want that. I don't have that. I wish I had that. I'm, you know, trying really, really hard not to fuck up, you know, whenever mm-hmm. I'm on a stage. And I think it's pretty transparent. And I don't think I'm a good performer in that sense. And so I either have to spend some time working on that skill, you know, getting good at being a, you know, performer. Or I don't know. And also, by the way, I have to find a band. That's like the big thing. I mean, you know, I can't perform out here unless I have a band. I could do solo shows, I suppose. I don't even know.
Well,
got
yeah.
any tips for?
And honestly, because One Life to Live is notorious for showcasing people and the actors and their other talents. I mean, you've got Kathy DePaiva. I mean, Kathy Breyer, unfortunately, is no longer there because she is an amazing, amazing singer.
I know.
You got Kristen Alderson. I mean, she's an amazing singer. And you got, and someone that's always kind of like hidden under, you know, behind the door is Eileen Kristen. Eileen Kristen is completely not credited enough for what she can do. She's
totally.
An amazing, talented singer and performer. She's very jazzy. She's very earthy. She does a lot of performances throughout Manhattan. And
yeah,
I
actually got to see her perform with her band, and she's really something.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have a lot of cast members that could probably help you out with that. And I know for a fact, like, all of them end up at Prohibition, you know, to do performances. You know, I mean, you definitely have the people there. I mean, it's just a matter of making, you know, saying, hey, this is what I want. So I would love to see you perform. I think that would be awesome. And I think that it would, you know, I would love to see them somehow get Skylar to perform, because almost I think everybody on the show that can sing sang on the show. And I think that would be really cool if they allowed you to explore into that somewhere along the lines.
Thank you very much. Yeah, cool. Well, I'll definitely I'll keep you posted if I end up.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
Out a show or, yeah.
I mean, Eileen Kristen is a very dear friend of the show, and she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. I stay in touch with her pretty often, and I know that she's one of those, you know, if you want to do it, she'll help you kind of people. So definitely.
Yeah.
Tell her I said that, and she'll call Joanne.
I will. Thank you.
But so actually, I'm coming down to New York City in August. So hopefully, I'll get to meet you down there, because I was at Super Soap Weekend the last year you were there, but I did not get to meet you because your lines were just like ridiculous.
I do that to people.
Yeah, you do. So hopefully, I'll get to meet you when I come down in August. So that'll be cool. You got a voiceover. You did a voiceover for Hitman.
I did. Hitman 5, I did a voiceover for, I did like 5 or 6 voices for like a demo for that, which they're still working on that game. That hasn't been released yet or anything.
Okay. And I know I have fans on the phone, but they're just going to have to wait a minute because I'm having too much fun. and you have a wolf? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I do. I did. For many, many years, since I was a kid, I had a wolf. My parents lived just outside of the greater Los Angeles area, and where it's legal to own a wolf, because it's not legal in L.A.
Yeah.
And she was such like an integral part of my family, of my growing up, of my youth. She was like my sister. And I don't know if you've ever – I don't know how much you know about them, but they are just the most amazing, amazing, magical creatures. So intuitive and so smart and so they just get you, and they read people, and their family, their pack animals. You know what I mean? And she lived like a really long, happy life. And about a year ago,
she passed away. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she passed away.
But
yeah. It was so sad. It was like one of those. I probably grieved more for her than I will for some family. You know what I mean? She was my, she was my miss. That was her name.
That's sad. You see, I would be afraid. I have a fear of dogs and any kind of animal like that. I mean, I never did, but I got attacked by a chow, and it was a pretty brutal attack that landed me in the hospital. Yeah, it was nasty. I got like scars all over my arm, my chest, my leg. This dog was trying to kill me, period. So ever since then, I kind of like, keep your dog away. Unless it's small enough, I could kind of shoo it out with my foot.
Right. Oh, wow. I'm sorry you had a bad experience.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, I guess a wolf would probably really scare you.
And it would sense it. And my aunt has those two. What are those snow dogs called? I can't think of what their names are.
Alaskan Malamutes or Husky?
Oh, my God. The Alaskan Malamutes. She has two of them, and I swear to God, they are so friggin' big, I can't even stand it. I went to her house. I was visiting her down in Yonkers, and they came to the door. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You think I'm walking in there? That thing is bigger than me. There's no way.
Yeah.
And I know that these animals sense that. I was like, there is no friggin' way I'm coming in that house. Hell no. No.
Well, yeah, at least you're aware that you're putting off a vibe that they're probably picking up on, and that is like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
Yeah, it is. Another thing I find interesting about you is that you read all of the holy books by the age of 16.
I think that might be a bit of an exaggeration. I don't think I read all of the holy books by the time I was 16, but I had read quite a few. When I was young, I'm not particularly religious at all. And when I was a kid, we kind of moved to a very, conservative Christian religious community. And I got asked a lot, like, how come you're not coming to church with us? How come you're not, why don't you believe in God? Why don't you accept Jesus? What's the deal? And I said, I just don't believe that. And then kind of people said, well, have you read the Bible? And I said, well, no. And peer pressure worked. How can I say that I don't believe in something if I don't know what it is I'm saying I don't believe in?
Interesting because even that you would sit down and read them just out of your own curiosity because people were saying things, because I know I can't get my kid to do it. So I just like, well, when you're ready, you go.
Yeah, it was more. I like saying this because I think it's funny, but it's also true. I have an I told you so complex, and I live my life with the hope that certain parts of my life will validate me being able to say I told you so. I don't have to say it. I just have to know that I could say it. I dropped out of high school to be an actor. And my drama teacher told me I'd never work as an actor. I haven't talked to her since, but I know she loves General Hospital. Things like that. And one of the reasons that I'm driven enough to read, those books is because I want to be able to talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just, I'm not, I'm no like saint. Like I wanted to, read it so that I.
Right.
Knew what I was talking about.
Well, I just think like you're one of the most interesting people. I'm really impressed with you. I have to say that. How old are you? 24, 25?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, you're just extremely impressive. I mean, I have cousins your age, and I mean, God, I could have a kid at your age, but I don't think I've ever met anyone your age like that. And I'm just really impressed. I'm a fan of just you.
What a nice thing to say. Thank you so much.
Wow. All right. Well, I got two more questions before I let these animals on the phone.
Bring it.
What is the most insane thing a fan has done for you or done to you to get your attention? Because you are generous with your fans. And sometimes people can take that to be that, maybe you're too generous. Has anybody ever stepped over the line, good or bad?
Not really. You know what I mean? I've never had like a really inappropriate stalker or, I've been like the most like comical thing that's ever happened is like a woman at a restaurant like made a beeline for me and pretty much like tackled me and I like fell over in my chair. I haven't had anybody like, you know, trying to like come home with me or anything like that. You know, I've gotten hit on, you know what I mean? Like I don't, you know, and probably hit on only because somebody knew me from the show, but.
Don't sell yourself short because you're a one adorable guy. I mean, you know, I got 20 years on you, but, I could be a cougar.
I'd be
a cougar.
Well, thank you.
You're well. You really are cute, though. The other interesting thing is that you're a Halloween baby.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because my son is a Halloween baby, so I had to bring that up.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yes, my little Tyler, and he's proven to
be that English lady is yelling at me again. How old is your son?
I'll tell her to shut up. He's 8. He'll be 9.
Eight.
I have one that's 8 and one that's 16. My 8-year-old is a Halloween baby. He'll be 9 this year.
Oh, wow. When I was probably like maybe 5 or 6, I went to another kid's birthday party, and I hadn't really been able. You tell me if you've experienced this too. I hadn't really been able at that age to make the distinction between my birthday and the holiday of Halloween. It's not a holiday, but you know what I mean.
Right.
And I had gone over to like another kid's birthday party or something, and I remember like asking, "So when do we go? We did the pinata, we did presents. When do we go trick or treating?"
Right.
And they had to explain to me, like, no, that's just you. does he ever get confused
actually,
in that area?
No, you know why? Because I never did a birthday party on Halloween. See, last year, for his 8th birthday, was the first real birthday party that he got. Because we lived in Florida. I had him when I lived in Florida, and we just moved back to New York last year, last July. So it was always too friggin' hot to go trick-or-treating. I couldn't see putting them in costumes because all they wanted to do is rip them off when you're walking around. And it was, no lie, it was either 80 or 90 degrees or it was friggin' raining. So it was like, So we either had just a small cake, and then when he turned 8, it was like, okay, I'm not going to have a Halloween-themed birthday party because I really don't think that, you know, he cares. He didn't care. And so I took him to, like, a Boomers or something, you know, Dave and Buster's type thing, and he had fun. And then the next day he went trick-or-treating. So this year he actually wants to have a Halloween birthday party. So, like, this is the first year he's actually kind of, like, embracing it, you know, because up here in this part of New York, well, any part of New York that I've ever lived in always embrace Halloween. But up here they're just crazy about it. I mean, they start decorating, like, at the end of September for Halloween.
Cool.
And he was just, like, you know, really getting into it, and now he wants to do it, so.
Yeah, I'd love to see New York in Halloween, New York City during Halloween time. I haven't experienced that yet. I wonder if you can tell. I mean, it's all apartments, so I don't
know. You can tell. I mean, you can just tell by the people walking around. I mean, although sometimes in the city, people just wear costumes because they're retards, but, you know, but you'll see it. It's a presence you feel, just like Christmas. I mean, I lived in Florida for so long. Christmas was never the same in Florida like it was in New York. It's something in the air. It's a feeling, and
right.
I could only feel it really in New York. So this was the first Christmas I've spent in New York in probably 16 years, and it was you got that like magical feeling again. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a different presence.
Totally. Oh, yeah, you can feel a lot of things just walking around New York, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, actually. Just if you feel something wet, look up, because it might be somebody spitting on you, not rain.
That hasn't happened yet. I'll let you know if it does.
Careful. All right, sweetheart, I'm going to get to the phone so some of these fans can chat you up. Actually, this first person I'm going to bring on, I think you actually know. This is Georgette.
Oh, Georgette.
Hi, Scotty. What's up?
Hi, Georgette. You squeeze me harder than anybody ever has when you hug me, and it hurts.
Okay. Whatever you say.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. What are you doing right now?
What Life to Live is actually on. You're just on the TV. I'm sitting here. It's on mute, reading the closed caption on it.
Wow, you multitask like no other.
Yeah, then I'm on the computer too, but Twitter's giving me issues, so I got off because I got frustrated.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Hey,
really,
you should have shows. Screw the band. Go acoustic.
Like, yeah,
back
you know what?
In the day. Come on.
That's actually like a really legit point. Like I've been playing a lot of guitar lately since I moved to New York. Like I sit around my apartment, I don't do a lot, you know, and I've been getting, I think, a lot more comfortable with guitar. I just did Broadway Cares, you know, and it was like the first time that I actually played with the band. I played guitar with the band. I've always played guitar, but I just don't like to play guitar and sing at the same time because I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm that good. But that I feel like I could do probably.
With acoustic. Actually, I'd prefer acoustic over all that nasty noise in the background. You just hear your voice as a guitar playing. Remember back in the day at the fan events? It'd be great. Come on, you could do it. Go to the Canal Room in New York City and go do it there.
The Canal Room. All right, I'm writing that down, Georgette. The Canal Room.
Yes. It's good, mm-hmm. Like good place to have. It's on a stage. You could play your guitar and have a show. If you do it, make sure you do it this summer so I can come.
Okay, cool. I got it. The Canal Room. Yeah.
And make sure you do it so Georgette can be there. So you work that schedule around her.
Oh, believe me.
Twitter.
Come hell or high water, she'll figure it out. She'll get there.
I will get there. I've always supported you from the beginning. Always.
I know.
Absolutely.
You're the best.
See, she's
always.
One of those people. She's definitely
back in the day. Back in the day. We go way back. Super Soap Weekend, 2003. All the way back.
Can I tell you something, Georgette?
What?
I'm his new favorite, so back off.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to have a King Solomon moment where, like, you guys, you know, pull a baby apart or something.
Right. Do you want to tell everybody about your YouTube page, your videos that you do? Joanne didn't ask you about that.
Tell me about that.
Oh, wow. Look at you. You're like my little publicist.
There you go, because I didn't know it.
This kind of more goes back to the question you asked me about, like, reading the holy books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a YouTube channel that I run, that it's all me, and it's like, you know, 10-minute video blog things.
Okay.
I got, like, you know, I've done probably like 80 videos or so far. And I, you know, I do videos like every once in a while, like every 2 weeks or so, but, it's all, philosophical, religious. And most of my subscribers on YouTube don't even know that I'm an actor because I don't really bring it up. But it's youtube.com/theoreticalbullshit.
Bullshit.
Spelled correctly. Yeah, and that's me. Yeah, and that's that's like my big thing. That's like really what I love to do. You know, the philosophy of religion and, you know, debating skepticism and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, and if you're not either religious or easily offended, you might enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So.
Okay, that's cool.
All right.
Well, Georgie Porgy, I got to get some other callers because I took up a lot of time.
Yeah, you. All right, Scott.
You know
you should wait. You should tell everybody about your two dogs and why you got them, and you're a lost freak. I just wanted to say that because I laughed when you said what their names were.
Thank you. I will. I promise. And it was good talking to you, Georgette. Thank you.
Okay. I'll see you later, Scott. Work on that show now.
Will do. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, get on it, Scott.
I know. She's talking about it. I got on Twitter. I let everybody know that I got two cats. She thought it was dogs, but it's cats. I got two kittens in my apartment. And I named them after characters from Lost. So I'm like a huge Lost fan.
What kind of kittens are they?
I don't know. I don't know cat breeds. Like, I don't know anything about cats. I've never had cats. I wanted a dog in New York for so long, and I had to, like, and I just kind of, you know, like, it was too much responsibility. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be able to pull it off, or I would end up traumatizing the poor thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard to have a dog in the city.
Yeah, and so I kind of like went, you know, I was like, huh, okay, I'll try a cat. Let's see how it goes. You know, I'm not a cat person, but I'm open. You know, I know people that swear by cats, and they're
like
these two.
I have a cat.
Yeah?
I love my cat. Oh, I love my cat. I had a dog. I mean, you know, of course I would never get another dog anyway, but I used to have dogs growing up, and I even attempted to get a smaller dog for my kids when we lived in Florida, and I was like, not happening. I'll take a cat. And my cat it runs to the door when I come home. He sits on me. He freaking sucks my fingers, you know.
Yeah, mine too.
Yep, he sucks all my fingers, and, you know, he'll go from one to the next, and it's almost like, you know, someone took him away from his mother too soon or something, and
yeah.
He'll go from one finger to the next. He's a beautiful black and white tuxedo cat, and it looks like he's wearing a tuxedo, so, I mean, I don't know what breed it is, but that's what I call him.
Oh, yeah, mine are like domestic short hair. That's what they said. They're like short hair, but there's two of them, and they have they're like white base. You know what I mean? But they have the exact same markings. Like they're brothers. They're from the same litter, but the colors are different. One is like orange and red, and the other one is like black and brown. It's really cool. Like they go really well.
Oh, okay. We have another one, a pure white one, and one eye is green and one eye is like sky blue.
Oh, cool. I bought a Kittens for Dummies book, and it said that like a lot of cats have that, like really beautiful, like multicolored eye.
On your website, that email address that's there, you're the one who responds to all those emails, correct?
Yes. If I respond, you'll know. If it's not, if not, you'll know that it's not me, because I have somebody who helps me check it, too.
I'm going to email you some pictures of my cat. That's why I'm asking. So this way
I'll see them, definitely.
You can see. All right, let's go to another caller because they're getting PO'd. This is Courtney. Courtney, say hi to Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Courtney.
I'm a huge fan of yours. I've watched you since you were on GH as Dylan. And I'm a huge Dylan and Georgie fan, and I was so excited when you were coming to One Life to Live.
Ah, cool. Thank you.
You're doing a great job on the show, and I really, really like your storyline.
Thank you so much. I really do too. What do you think of Stacy? Let me just ask you.
I don't like her with Rex, but I think Skylar brings out a different side to her. I think she can kind of change her a little bit once she gets off Rex.
Yeah. We need to find the redeeming side of her, I think. And we need to find it soon. And whether Skylar brings it out or somebody else does. I'm with you. I agree.
I have a question. What's it like working with Farrah?
Farrah's great. When I first met Farrah, I wonder what she would think if she actually heard me say this. I don't even know. When I first met her, I thought that she was kind of cold and reserved and a little distant. And she is, like, she kind of takes a while to warm up. She's just like that kind of person.
Yeah.
But as an actress, I really, really, really like working with her. She doesn't have ego, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She kind of makes funny faces and she's like totally quirky, and she's not afraid to be do those little idiosyncrasies that make you interesting. I really like the way that she acts. I think it's really cool.
That's cool. I really like her. And I think you're a great singer, too. I have your CDs.
Oh, cool.
And I listen on my MP3 player all the time.
Oh, shit, that's so cool. Thank you.
Well, I know you have a lot more other fans to talk to, but I wanted to let you know that I'm a huge fan of yours.
Oh, boy. Well, now I'm a huge fan of yours. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Courtney.
You're welcome. Bye, Scott.
Take care, Courtney. Bye.
That's so cute. You want to know something? A lot of people that I've spoken to got that same impression of Farrah when they first met her. But she's a really sweet girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have added, if I didn't say it, like, you know, 2 seconds in, she does warm up, and she's, like, the nicest person. She's really great.
She's a good girl. Okay, let's go over here to area code 312. This is Tony from Chicago.
Hey, Scott. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good. And by the way, I've also been following your Kristen Days at GH too, and I think you're doing a great job playing Skylar here on Life, and especially you have to deal with the Barrasco sisters every day.
Yeah. Oh, poor me, right?
Yeah. But yeah, poor him. Yeah. But I will ask a question. My question is this: I know back in your days in GH, you got to work with the younger set along with Adrian Leon, who played Brooklyn, and also Lindsay, you just mentioned. Have you kept in touch with either one of them since the show left?
Adrian or Lindsay,
or both.
I haven't talked to Adrian. I do talk to Lindsay. Like, I keep in touch with Lindsay on, like, I mean, like I said earlier, kind of like the same thing. Like, I talk to her, like, on Facebook, and I'm always like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, not much. What's going on with you? But it's kind of one of those, like kind of the way you talk to a relative, you know what I mean? Like, somebody in your family, like, you just call to, like, catch up, and then you just, that's what you do, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, because they were such an important part of your life at one point. And then we kind of go on and do our lives, and then, you know, we have another phone call or, you know, whatever, where we catch up. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, speaking of, I mean, I just thought about it. Now, speaking of Lindsay, I think she did a project last year for Strike TV along with one of the writers at General Hospital, Karen Harris.
I was in that.
And you was in that, right?
Yeah. I played Fritz, the AD.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw that, and you guys were funny as heck. That was a funny show.
Thanks. Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, just in case, like, Joanne, if you don't know, like, there, I did a thing for, like, Strike TV called Life in General, and Karen Harris, one
of
the writers.
That's the show. That's the show. That's the show.
Right. And it was a really cool concept. It's a soap opera about the production of a soap opera.
Soap opera, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was, yeah, and we got to play, like, you know, directors and ADs and stuff like that, like, on the set, and then people played actors playing actors, and it was cool.
Oh, okay, very cool.
It's kind of like what happened back in the day with One Life to Live, when they had a show, they just had a soap opera with a soap called Fraternity Roll back in the day. You probably didn't know about it, but Joanne probably does, right?
Actually, no, I never heard of that.
Yeah, they had it back in the 80s.
You're getting a wealth of information today.
thank you so much. I am a mountain of fitness. That's what I call you, Mr. Stabs.
Where
I'm not going to
be tomorrow in
Oshkosh,
Wisconsin.
Don't do that, Joanne. I'm hanging up now, Joanne. I'll see you again. Thanks, Scott, for your time. I gotta get off the phone because I got other calls away. So, Scott, continue successful. I'm on One Life to Live, and let's hope
you
can turn Stacy around.
All right, man. I'll work on it.
All right. Take care.
Take care. You too, brother.
Right,
do you think that Stacy's character, the character of Stacy's getting a bad rap, do you think she is redeemable? Because I'll tell you, I'll be quite honest, people hate her.
That's one of the reasons that I asked is I do get a lot of feedback. You know, people say like, oh, you know, I love you on the show, blah, blah, blah. And you and Stacy, oh, man, I hate Stacy. You know. It's kind of like no surprise, like they're making her really, really hateable, like really, really hateable. Like she, I mean, she's just, you know, like threatening to like take a kid's life, you know what I mean? If she can't like, you know, do the guy that she's wanted to do for a long time. I don't know what their plan is. I totally have faith in the writers. They're so brilliant. They totally know what they're doing. But I know enough to know that, the character of Stacy is not redeemable so far in my opinion.
Not at all. I can't stand her. I can't stand to watch her. That's how bad they're making her. So, honestly, it's really difficult to watch her. And you know what I really feel bad about is that I am sure Crystal Hunt is nothing like that, and I really think people are getting confused with the actress and the role she plays.
Right.
You know
what I mean? That's a bit of a burden, isn't it? Like, you know, playing a character like that, it's so, yeah.
So I kind of feel bad for her in that aspect because I've read some pretty nasty stuff, and you got to kind of like remind people, like, hello, she's acting what they write for her. She's not that person, jackass. And some people just don't get that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had to stop a few people and they say, like, I hate Crystal Hunt. And I kind of go, like, no, you hate Stacy, right? And they go, oh, yeah, I hate Stacy.
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it. Well, I really hope they do something because as of right now, I mean, not horrible writing, but they're making her and just terrible, terrible. Just
yeah.
terrible
I mean,
to watch for a lot of people.
It's an important character, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like it's a really integral character to the storyline, but when this storyline's over, what is that character left with, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, that character has to walk away with something, and I, again, I like have like 100% faith in the writers, but I, you know, I'm imagining like at some point they need to do something to make her
yeah.
redeemable.
Exactly. All right, let me get this other call in here real quick.
I have I probably have like 10 to 15 more minutes because I actually have to go to a voiceover audition
today.
Oh,
you do? What are you doing?
I do voiceovers, you know, like the hitman thing and stuff like that. But you know, I got to audition just like everybody else.
All right. Well, you know what? This is what I want you to do. I want you to promise me that you're going to come back.
I promise.
How about that?
I've had such a good experience today.
Well, I'm glad you did because I really wanted to make it, you know, as enjoyable as possible for you because you were new to this whole internet thing with the radio shows. And there's quite a few of us out there, and we love dishing it with the soapies. And, you know, you're an important part to the fans, you know. This is just
Thank
another
you.
Way for the fans to connect with you that can't get to your places of performances and so on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, well, let me ask you, before I do let you go then, how about this? Can you do me a favor and give me a promo? Hey, this is Scott
sure.
Clifton on Stardish Radio, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm ready when you are.
Okay. Hey, this is Scott Clifton, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
You're perfect.
Oh, I should.
Anybody ever tell
probably...
you that? You're perfect.
Oh, you're perfect. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to email you that stuff I told you about, so make sure you look for that. And I'll tell you, Scott, it's just been a pleasure, and I'll be in touch for you to come back.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure on my end, too, and I can't
wait. All right, well, good luck with the audition.
Thank you. Thank you. And good luck with the rest of your show. Not that you'll need it.
Thank you, sweetheart.
All right, you too. Take care and have a great day.
You too. Bye. All right, everybody. Scott Clifton is signing off. I really appreciate everybody turning out for him and showing the love. I'm sorry I didn't get to the calls. I didn't keep track too well of the time. You know how it is when first-timers come on the show. It gets a little intense with some of the questions. But as you heard, he will be back, and we'll definitely do it again. So don't be mad at me and don't be hating on me because it's not going to work. You know you love me. So anyhow, Monday I have a gentleman from One Tree Hill joining me, Joe Manganiello, and on the 25th, Judge Lynn Toler will be here, and we are definitely going to get Scott back, and for those of you who are on hold, I apologize again for not getting to you sooner. So until Monday, oh, well, actually tonight I have a show with comedian Paul Ryan at 10 o'clock, so check that out. If you want to come back for that. And I really appreciate it. And you guys go off and have a great day. Thank you.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McClain, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.